Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Auto Central here on Cliff Central, proudly powered by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. It's a full house today. It really is nice and packed. We sat here last week and it was like so thin and it was only us, and we waffled for the entire hour. I don't think, did we put a song in last week?
We did, but we had so much to talk about.
Yeah, we had plenty to talk about, and this week I don't know if I'm going to get a word in edgewise because we've got an absolutely packed studio. Welcome, Wilmer Jans van Rensburg, my co-host. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Chad?
I'm doing good. Hit the ground running, absolutely blasting around.
Where and in what?
Good question. I actually just spent the weekend in Botswana.
Oh, testing or social?
No. Toyota 1000 Desert Race, Dakar qualifier. 1,000 kilometers through some pretty gnarly terrain out in Botswana. There from Friday, came back on Monday, and watched Toyota lock out the podium. First, second, and third, all Toyota Gazoo Racing Hiluxes.
Fantastic
showing.
I actually saw some on social media.
That was sent all the way from Botswana with limited connectivity. I had to pull a Lion King and hold the thing up to the air like this, and it was just to get a little bit of signal, a little bit of data. It was actually quite tricky, but a whale of a time. I'm still digging sand out of places that I didn't know sand could go. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to discuss which places, but they shouldn't be there. Let's put it that way. And yourself, what did you get up to the weekend?
Well, obviously, it didn't go gallivanting like you, but I did watch the GP.
Ah, okay.
I was very disappointed. Man, I wanted to throw my TV out the window.
Wasn't that bad, really?
It was really bad. And, you know, I'm crazy about Rossi.
Yeah,
Yes, unfortunately, he did well because it was rain. It was proper rain conditions. Okay, and the Ducatis seemed to have the overhand in the rain, especially on that track. There were three Ducatis managed to pass him. So he just held on to it, but then they red flagged it. Restarted the race, and he did something silly and then crashed. He should have just hung in there.
This sounds like a little bit of deja vu, because I'm vaguely recalling a conversation we had about this last year, around about the same time, in fact.
With rain.
About how Ducati's being better suited to certain tracks.
For the rain, yes, we did in certain
tracks.
Correct, yeah. All three of them, Dovizioso.
Flashbacks.
So, yeah, it was actually really awesome to see. But you know what was funny, but very disappointing, but very funny.
But disappointing. But hilarious.
Was Lorenzo.
What happened with him?
He should have just crashed. I'm sorry.
No love, hey? No love there.
He was lying 18th. We're talking world GP champion and eventually finished 9th, I think. Was it 9th? Yes. I mean, that's just...
That's
terrible. That's terrible.
It has the makings of a hero story without a great ending.
It had no great ending. He should have rather just crashed.
Just toppled over somewhere.
He just managed to make some points. While saying that, he at least made more than Rossi now because Rossi crashed, was very bad.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh out loud like that. Hey. Sorry.
So that was my weekend.
That was your weekend.
Summed up.
You drown your sorrows. Just glug, glug, glug. Monday will have to deal with itself.
Yes.
Yeah, entertaining weekend for the two of us, but we're also joining studio Tyron Woods. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, good to be again.
Yeah, nice to have you in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You were busy last week with a drive change.
Yes, yeah, with the handover, which was absolutely spectacular. It was so nice.
Did it go down really well?
Very well. I mean, it was so inspiring to give those bicycles away to those kids and knowing that it not only makes a difference to the child, but to their families. I think from a brand point of view, to have campaigns that actually make a difference and do a job for the brand is really where it's at. So, no, the campaign was successful. It really, really was good.
It is a bit of a one hand washes the other in that. And sometimes you want to do it sort of under the radar, and you want to make sure that, you know, that what's being done for the community, you know, you're not making a fanfare about it, because that can open up a couple of doors as well, you know, into saying, oh, well, you're just doing it for the publicity.
Sure.
And you're not wanting to be regarded as that brand that just goes out there and does things for self-gratification, seemingly good things.
Yeah.
This just has such a genuine knock-on effect that it's a there's no way that it can be self-gratifying.
Well, the thing was, it was never ever planned to be a charity-driven campaign. Mm. It's just the campaign lent itself so well to... to having a charity behind it, and you know, giving the campaign a real reason and a reason to buy in, you know, and that's how we had to, you know, drum up the support from South Africa through the mall activations was, yeah. You know, what is, give them a reason to engage. Yeah, it's awesome to colour in a vehicle. I mean, thousands of people would love to take a Sharpie to anyone's car.
To anyone's car.
You know, to actually allow.
I know a couple that would love to take some car from Zazzle.
Yeah, exactly. But then to have a proper reason behind it, and just to benefit a whole bunch of children.
And legally have fun.
And legally have fun, exactly.
Yeah.
Look, we learnt a hell of a lot through the campaign. Mm. So a lot of learnings.
What, in bad? Good?
Good and bad, I suppose. You know, you never really know because you're doing something that's never been done before.
Yeah.
You know, the
some
thing
of the logistical challenges.
The logistical challenges.
50 cars, you know, exactly, around the you know, and trying to, amazingly enough, one of the things was curbing people's artistic spirit. To just listen, just please colour in that block.
Yes.
Instead of, people just wanted to go absolutely crazy with it. They wanted to sit there and they wanted to draw designs and they felt that this car was now just their canvas, and they were being given complete carte blanche about it.
Yeah.
And sadly, you had to sit there and say, sorry, we're actually doing this in a certain way, so can you please just colour in that little block over there?
Yeah, you're paying for that.
We don't want your girlfriend's name on our car, thank you very much.
Yeah, so they were sitting there, I love...
So yeah.
It was probably the East Rand blokes that were sitting there trying to scribble some graffiti sort of course he was here.
You know how many
something.
Cars came back from Eastgate that had 1610?
Really?
Written into
really
the roster. That's the area code. 1610 for life.
You know it, eh?
That's just for George, our CEO. Yeah.
Yeah, George not joining us. He's wrapped up in, well, real business stuff, I think.
Yeah, some big business stuff. Some exciting stuff happening. So, yeah, he's
wrapped up there. But we are also joined in studio by Gerard de Tooy. And Charles, I didn't get your surname.
Bjerkes. Nice English name.
Bjerkes. There we go. Fantastic. And thank you very much for joining us. And... Wilbert, I'm going to let you introduce it because I think you've got a slightly better idea of what Gerda's whole... You could sum it up a lot better than what I would. I'm going to waffle for 10 minutes trying to explain what Gerda was doing.
Well, I think it would be nice for Gerda to tell us. But what was great for me is that I saw on social media that Gerda was making her way back and she was doing this great cause... Riding, I mean, how many k's did you do, Hannah?
4,391 kilometers.
I mean, that's quite far. And yeah. The whole purpose was to reach, is it people without limbs?
It was more to raise awareness of the Kirsty Watts Foundation.
Okay. And what is the whole cause of the, the foundation? What is it?
It is to help other kids. It was established by Kirsty Watts, who at the time was 13 or 14 years old when she was diagnosed with cancer. She was lucky enough and she's in remission, but at the time she saw the need for children being treated for cancer. And what people do not realize is the fact that so many kids lose limbs from cancer. Mm. I was never aware of this. And about when I lost my limbs about 2 years ago due to diabetes, this world was open to me. And Kirsty Watts is now 23 or 24, and what they do is they help children
who suffer from
cancer.
Okay.
And like I said, most of them do lose limbs due to cancer.
Yeah.
On average, it's about 206 kids per annum.
Wow.
I mean, is
that just locally?
Locally.
Just locally, just in South Africa?
Just in South Africa.
Well, I'm just checking you. I mean, the Kirsty Watts Foundation was initiated by Kirsty Watts, and she was 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she had a malignant brain tumor, and so just raising awareness for this. And, I mean, Gerard, you are a double amputee yourself as well. And,
yes.
You lost your legs to diabetes, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so it wasn't cancer, but it was diabetes.
That's also something people don't know about, that can actually happen. But, I mean, that's... I didn't know.
Yeah, we were having a bit of a discussion about that, and that was also a little bit of a shocker for me. I mean, Gerard, you were saying?
Majority of adults losing limbs is due to diabetes.
Jeepers.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And I mean, for you, that's two limbs, which means your transport. So, I mean, mobility, let's call it
all
that.
The mobility.
Mobility.
Yeah.
And now you've gone and, You got a motorcycle. Am I right saying it was sponsored by KN?
That's
motorcycles?
Right.
So, I mean, now you're mobile in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, I don't know how does it work when you lose your limb? I mean, who they fitted, I don't know anything about it. You've got to make sure that you can walk with these things.
It's a process. And I was fortunate enough to have Shaw that took me through the whole process, rehabilitation and everything. He's also the one that had enough patience with me when I had to learn to ride motorbike again. Because when I got on the first time, I was absolutely dumb. I had no idea, despite the fact that I used to ride
quite a few years ago.
Okay, so you used to ride, you kind of knew how to ride, and then this happened. And then what firstly made you decide to go the bike route? I mean, getting mobile again is one thing, but getting mobile and on a bike is a whole other thing.
It's a passion for motorcycles.
Okay.
I decided, Charles actually came up with the idea to do this trip. But, you know, if you've got any sense of understanding for the brotherhood and sisterhood of motorcycles, I mean, that in itself was an incredible experience, meeting up with all the guys throughout the country. And that's what it is. It's using our passion for motorcycles for this unique cause.
So what made you guys, I mean, how many people did you have in your crew that went around, and how long did this take you?
We were only three.
Three of you that did over 4,000 Ks.
Yeah.
And how long was this process?
3 weeks.
So when you go, so 3 weeks off work, how did you earn money? I mean, did someone sponsor this? Did they make it happen? Or did you purely just do this?
Maybe I can just put a little light on this. I've been very fortunate. I've been working with amputees for 18 years. I run the Amputee Club of South Africa. Mm-hmm. And Kirsty, in 2012, I managed to get hold of Kirsty. They had some kids that had to be done in Baragwanath Hospital with legs, and we got to meet and we started working together. It gave me a platform where I could just concentrate on kids, because a lot of the corporate that give into the Amputee Club, they always want to see, you know, if I'm giving a leg, I'm using other people's money. So I have to justify as to why I'm giving that leg firstly. With Kirsty's one, it's purely for kids. And I want to tell you that we pride ourselves very much on this. 100% of donated funds go to recipients. We're one of less than 1% of NGOs or NPOs that can claim that. Gerda and Noel, who rode a sweeper with me, took unpaid leave. What we weren't sponsored came out of Belinda, Kirsty's mother, and my pocket. We've been very, very intent from the beginning of doing this whole thing, in the 18 years that I've been this, is that we won't use any of donors' funds to fund motorcycles, whatever it may be.
Okay.
Just to go back on Gerda's, just firstly is when Gerda was amputated, and worldwide, 73% of adult amputations are because of diabetes. It's a disease that we don't all look at. A lot of us are walking around with it that we don't even know that we have it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens so quickly. I mean, a little bump on the toe, with extreme cases that the guy bumps his toe on the Saturday, by the Wednesday he's amputated below knee usually.
Am I right in saying they can't feel pain?
Well, you do lose a certain amount of sensation because of the nerve damage to nerve endings. It attacks all your organs, so, you know, your eyes, your kidneys, your heart, and that's why a lot of people don't even know how many people are actually dying from diabetes, because a guy would have a heart attack and then they go back. The coroner just puts it as a heart attack. He doesn't follow it back up to say that it was through the sugar that happened.
And yeah, that it was actually a diabetic, you know, cause to the heart attack, you know, that resulted in it. Wow, okay.
To give you an idea with Gerda too, is, and you gave me a hard time because she was remembering what you taught her 10 years ago and I had to teach her to ride on the road. So I did something with you. But, I mean, the prodigies that we're working with her just after lost her legs said that her legs would cost in the region of 400,000 rand. Now, the top medical aid in this country, if you go to the top of the Discovery Vitality thing, would only pay in the region of about 60,000 for the first thing.
That's hardly a percentage of it.
Exactly. So,
and considering that there's such a big percentage this happens to, I mean, why? This is...
Well, you know, again, it's because I've been a campaigner for diabetes for many years, and you just can't get medical aids. They don't seem to be too concerned. Yes, they do have certain diabetic clinics and things. Our purpose is also with the cancer kids, and particularly with the grown-ups with diabetes, there are the complications, because obviously when they get the sockets, you're putting stump of your leg into a solid, solid piece of carbon fiber. So you always have chances of ulcers and that. One of our biggest things at the Amputee Club, and where we do work with certain medical aides that have seen it, is to keep those people out of hospitals and that. Because as soon as the slightest sore would come onto it, they will contact us, we will take care of that sore. If it just goes on, they end up back in hospital, and the same thing is had, and you'll find, and if you know anybody with diabetes, you probably find it starts with the toe and then above ankle, below knee, and eventually above knee, because it's just not cared for properly. And most GPs don't even understand the whole process of diabetes properly, because
this is frightening.
The problem is this, is it's a disease of the metabolism. So when they give you diets, and a lot of people try and put everybody onto the same type of diet, and it doesn't work because each person is an individual. Mm. And no matter how good the diet is that you're putting it on, if you're not working it with your metabolism, it just doesn't cure whatsoever.
So your process with Hadla,
tell us about it. She's really... In the 18 years that I've worked, it's probably been one of the nicest patients that I've ever had to work with. Firstly, is because when I first met her, I mean, I'd walked into her office and there was this angry lady. Her kid was sick for the 2 years before she could walk. She was in one hospital, her son in the other hospital with severe heart problems, open heart surgery. I think he had 7 or 8 operations. Father was trying to keep the kids up. So when I first met Gerda, you can imagine that all the medical debts and things like that. I mean, when somebody put a note on my desk and says he has a bilateral lady, young lady with young kids, doesn't have prosthesis, can't afford them, can you help her? So I phoned her, and she wasn't answering the phone because she thought it was debt collectors.
Oh.
Eventually somebody at her office answered the phone, and I told her it was. And of course, when I arrived there on a motorbike and she saw this old toppy, she sort of said to me, "Well, what are you going to do for me?" So I said, "Well, I don't know yet, but the Lord sent me, yeah? So let's see what happens from you." And one of the first things when I started speaking to her, and I said to her, "What are your 2 biggest wishes?" And she said to me, "The first one is just to be able to hold my son, to stand and hold my son, because she'd never been able to do. And secondly is to ride motorbikes again." So the son was the first catalyst, and where all the prodigies had said that she wouldn't stand before the December, by the August I had her driving her car, and she went to go fetch her kids at school, you know, because wow. I did sometimes drive her. I saw tears in her eyes, but I think at the end of the day she thanked me. And just the difference that she was making to other people, because I'm not an amputee myself, you know, and I've been working with it for 18 years, but to see somebody that's lost both legs and is pushing so much, little things like when she was walking the first time in shopping centre with her husband and kids and pushing the trolley, how many people came up to her and just said to her, "Oh, I can't believe it, how can you do this?" And then, of course, she was a fan like yours, of a big Rossi fan. So I had to put a Rossi sticker on the front of her leg and my Lorenzo sticker on the back. So, yeah, that was it.
Yep, he's on the back, did you know?
So that was just, it was amazing just to see how she, and of course, like anything, we had a couple of hiccups along the line, but she drove through, and again, he's on this ride. I want to tell you something. I've been riding for 46 years, as I said to Chad.
Yeah.
And when we rode into Worcester, I hit the worst conditions that we've ever seen. A truck with a load of carcasses was blown over in front of us. I pulled them off in Worcester, and I said, "Guys, I'm abandoning this year. We're not going any further." Gerda said, "There's no way." Kirsty and them are waiting for us on the other side of the tunnel. We want to go. Well, we pushed through and we got there. It's just been amazing. Our roads have been incredible. Her riding ability, I mean, we were pushing at times because the riding part was the easy part of the things, I think, that it was. But when we got there, people just swamped her with interviews. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she never flinched. She just didn't. I think that was the very, very, you know. So at times, because we were held up late with one, we were pushing 150, 160. And, I mean, Gerda was just stayed in that bus with us all the time. It was amazing just to see how our confidence came.
So you had time deadlines too?
Yes, we did.
On this the whole time?
Because, I mean, we were thinking about it. I mean, it's a big mileage. I mean, do you want to just give us a slight insight into what was the route that was taken, just roughly, to give us an idea of what constituted those 4,391 kilometers?
We left Joburg from Kahen on the 6th of June, and from there went to Bloem, Colesberg, Beaufort West, Cape Town, Stellenbosch.
Okay. So sort of straight down the usual Joburg to Cape
Town
route.
Route, yeah.
Boring route, yes.
And then the exciting part came, coming back via the garden route.
Okay, yes.
From Stellenbosch we went to George, Jeffreys Bay, PE, East London, Morgan's Bay, Kokstad, Durban, Harrismith, Joburg
again. The look on your face as you say getting back to Joburg, absolutely painful.
Yeah.
That constituted the 4,391. I know I'm sticking with exactly that, but I've just remembered the number, so I'm going with it. The 4,000 odd kilometers, and you did that over a process of 3 weeks. Now, ordinarily that wouldn't sound like much, considering that, you know, you could do the Joburg to Cape Town jaunt in, you know, one stretch, you know. But that's in like an air-conditioned, comfortable sitting car, not fighting road conditions, not fighting crosswinds with aircon blowing and a radio playing and that. So I think to do it over the 3 weeks is actually still quite an achievement with a schedule, like you say, that you had at the time, which was interviews and newspapers. And this isn't your first time in a radio studio either, because no doubt you did plenty of radio interviews as well along the way.
Yeah, probably briefed you properly for this.
No, look, I've been very fortunate in that, because to me, the whole purpose was to raise awareness so that people know that there is a need out there, especially when it comes to kids. You know, there's nothing as rewarding to see a kid standing up for the first time and walk again. We take it for granted. Basic, simple things. Mm. I know what it was like for me as an adult being able to stand up and walk for the first time again. What must it not be for a child?
Yeah. But I mean, all of this is, I mean, if you look at the drive change as well, it's about mobility. It's about helping people, helping kids get to and from, you know. So even an amputee won't be able to use the bicycle unless they work with someone like you.
100%.
Yeah.
Again, it's just to go back and, you know, we're obviously transgressing and going all over the places. At the moment is in Gauteng alone, and I just want to tell you the achievement that these girls, and Belinda, Kirsty and Gerda drive the thing. I get to play with the kids and I ride the motorbikes, you know, which is the lucky side of it. But we started last year with Gerda not being able to ride again. I've been involved in drag racing over the last couple of years because I'm too old to be riding the track with you. So we went back and I got my national license last year, which was a bit of a thing because I didn't know how to do the medical with the old toppy like me. But we did a campaign in the first year, and the girls managed to give 20 kids legs and one kid an arm. And it may not sound that much, but the Gauteng government, with a budget of about 26 million rand and just a staff of just under 60, only gave 9 kids legs. So just to give you that, at present we've got a backlog of 360 kids in South Africa, in Gauteng alone. Gauteng alone.
Good grief.
And what a lot of people forget, if Gerda said there's an average of the 206 kids per year losing limbs, but kids grow. You and I, we're healthy, your bones grow gradually. Where your leg has been amputated on a kid, that bone grows through, right through the flesh at the bottom at times. So they have to go for revision amputations. And, of course, then the whole system has to start again. The way that they do it, and you were asking the question, is when the prosthetists do the leg, they come with a plaster cast and they cast over the stump of the leg. They then take that into what they call their laboratories. They fill that with solid plaster, which gives them the form of the positive. They then work with that and they put the carbon fiber, whatever materials that they're using. All of us, we use carbon fiber just because it's stronger and the lightweight on the whole thing. So every time that a kid, sometimes a kid in his growth pattern over the year, maybe 4 or 5 times that kid may need a new leg. When we take a kid into our program, we look after them until the day that they're out of the 18 year, because particularly with Kirsty Watts, it's specifically for kids up to 18 years of age.
So, I mean, it's a constantly ongoing process then.
Constantly,
I mean,
never
stops. We just think of, you know, growth spurts that, you know, some youngsters have or that we had. That could possibly even necessitate 2 sets in a year. you know, in certain instances. And that's now, like you say, almost a sometimes a 400,000 rand exercise if it's coming in at 200,000 rand for a set of prostheses.
Well, you know, once again, is that we've been very fortunate that we've worked with a company that brings in, imports their own stuff and that make mm-hmm. their stuff with us. They're different grades, and of course, prosthetists are businessmen too, so they're always going to try and sell you, well, they'll tell you, listen, you need this foot and you need that knee and you need this. It's not necessarily that the most expensive is going to work with everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, it's because you can understand that they're in business, and the more expensive they sell, the more money in it for them. So the old days of the same as what Khada was talking about, the biker brotherhood, the days when a doctor used to come and visit you at home and they were doing it just because they had a passion for it, there are very few of them left. Mm. They're all there to make money.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful as well as when we're working with the kids, you know, that who does the leg with the kid. We always try that one of us is present through the whole process. We will teach them on the walking side, because you have to be a little bit more delicate as far as, you know, when you're working with ill kids as it is, you know.
Yeah.
And remember, sometimes is that the professors will tell us that maybe this kid's only going to live for 8 or 9 months. So sometimes I have to make that choice and say, do I give this kid a leg to make the difference in the last 8 months of the life?
Yeah.
Or do I save it for the next kid that may live a little bit longer?
I'm sorry, I'm so glad that I'm not in your position, because that is a massive, massive undertaking. I mean, that must be a massive weight on the, you know, on the shoulders and on the heart, having to sort of make that call and make that decision. Who gets it? Who do you deem to be more deserving?
Well, I must tell you that really it's tough. Our blessed that we've been. Yeah. I've never, ever not given a kid a leg. And what Khada was saying, a lot of people often ask me and say to me, listen, yeah, but why do kids walk easier than what adults do? And I suppose that a lot of people would assume because they learn so much quicker. Mm. But 18 years ago when I started that with the very first kid that I worked with, I made the same mistake, and I didn't, because most of these kids that we work with come from the most poorest of poor areas in the rural regions and things like that, that it is trees. So they don't usually have, they never had shoes before they got ill. And if they did, they've only got one shoe left. So we give them two pairs of shoes, a little pair of tackies and a pair of school shoes. And with the little girls, we give them a nice pair of socks. So when the leg is made and we fit them, I make quite a big thing of it, of the new shoes and that. And when they get up and the rest of the ward can see these kids with shoes, they're so happy to see the shoes, they forget about the prostheses, you know. So
little things,
you know, that we sort of
take for granted.
Mm. The most difficult acts to work with are the diabetic acts that have been doping and carrying on and everything. They can know they're diabetic, then they lose a limb, and then they blame the rest of the world, you know, that it is. We've got plenty of acts, but we've got Roof Buerta on two different accidents that lost first his right leg below knee, and then in a second accident up in the Eastern Transvaal, he lost his second knee through. He's riding a GS7, we just put a pneumatic shifter on it and that. So it's again, you know, when you lose a limb, you've lost a limb. Prostheses today are pretty good, but the biggest thing is to work with the mind, you know. I mean, once a person
like
gets
anything,
like Khada, I mean, she wanted to ride motorbikes, she wanted to carry her kid. And I want to tell you something too, is the big thing with Khada when we started this, and I started saying, and I had this thing with the motorbike. I mean, at that time, she couldn't even walk. I didn't know whether she was going to walk or not. But I just had this belief that we were going to do this thing together. And in the beginning, with CMA, we were going to do a thing to help her, to alleviate her medical finances. And after about 3 months that she'd seen me working with the kids with the Kirsty Watts Foundation, she wrote me a very nice letter. She said to me, Shaw, I'm going to do this to help you with the kids, you and Kirsty with the kids, because if I help them, my life will come right. So, I mean, that in its own just tells you what a fantastic lady this is, you know. And also, you must remember, it's the first bilateral lady in the world that's ever attempted anything like this.
Yeah.
We've got some more records that we'll talk to you with. We want to do a 24-hour with her. We need to get her back onto the track a little bit with you, where you can chase away my old bad habits, you know. And then just from a motoring point of view, just to give you a thing, is the motorcycles were incredible. Had is that Honda Integra is probably one of the most underrated bikes that you can. I'm dying to get it onto Swart Corps. Telling I'm going to do 120s below. 120s. Because I sit at the robot with it, and the guys at the KTMs, and they sit next to it. I mean, the bike, it's a 750cc, and it's, I think it's low center of gravity. I had a brick on it when I was testing it at about 130Ks with 8 bikes around me. One of the guys in the BMW that plays bricks under the, underneath the bridge, he went down. I hit it about 130 km/h and the front wheel exploded. It wasn't that, it was a gradual thing.
Did people put bricks under the highway?
Right, just outside.
On this journey
Funabell. Now?
No. Oh, before.
This was just when I was going to test the bike out. And that Integra just stayed steady.
That's
never dropped
unreal.
On a rapid deflation on the front wheel.
It immediate, it exploded because it ripped part of the rim out. You know what I mean? So it wasn't that it was one of those slow that you normally get, you know, that it bursts and when you're getting towards the end that it starts shaking. It was immediate.
This was straight away.
Yeah.
So you panicked a little, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm too old to panic.
reactions are a little dulled. So by the time you've stopped it, then it sort of sank
then
in.
Then it sinks in. I need to ask you, though, because, I mean, there's logistics involved in, obviously, now, it's one thing learning, but you have to drive the car and you have to ride the bike. Is there anything technically that you had to change? Because sometimes, obviously, on the bike, you would have to change clutch lever over to the other side if someone loses an arm. Or with guys who can't stop, you get that, I've seen with a mobile stand, as you stop, the stand comes out and catches it. Is there anything you've had to do like that on the bike and the car side?
Not at all.
So stock Honda Integra?
Yeah, stock.
At just off the floor, and you... Wow, okay, very impressive.
Remember, the secret is because you don't have feeling in your feet in that like I would have. So I have to translate and to find where the nerve endings on her stumps are, and then for her to feel very much with her hips and upper legs, you know, where she's doing. So there are certain things, I mean, like, you know, when you're stopping, for you now it's easy. We put our foot out
we
and you can feel it. But I mean, as you know, you've been teaching bikers for a long time, and the big thing with Gerda was the emphasis on the upper half, where the upper half of the body becomes part of the motorcycle, and where she doesn't maybe have the feel where we can push down on a foot peg, we just maybe to adapt more that she's using her shoulder into the bends and things like that, that it is, you know. And I must tell you that is true. The only long ride that she had before we went on this trip, we went to Rustenburg to go and see a lady that lost a leg there. So that was the only time that she got into anything where there were trucks involved or anything like that too. So, and another thing I must tell you, Sydney, the trackers were incredible. I don't know if they'd seen her on TV or if they'd gone on their two-way radios, but right all the way in this trip, where truckers saw the three bikes coming, they were pulling over. If there was a truck in front, they were flashing.
Wow.
The guys coming from the front, if they saw the three bikes, they flashed. They pulled over to the far left to take the wash away from the bikes. It was amazing. I've never seen it before. You know?
Chad and I were actually having a conversation the other day, and Chad was actually saying, and I agreed with him, that they probably are, well, A, they've spent so much time on the road, but they're probably the most courteous as well, you know?
The trucks in general.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In general, I mean, we're so quick to, you know, lambast them and rather just be nasty and negative towards truckers as a whole because, here you are and you're only doing X amount of kilometers an hour, you're holding me up, you're an inconvenience, you're taking two lanes to turn. But they are generally the ones that are the most pleasant to drive around, provided you have a little bit of consideration for them and what their task involves. They've got consideration for you, and at the first available gap, they'll gladly move over, as long as it's not dangerous to them and not going to endanger you.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for them and for the work that they do and the stress that they go under, to still be able to have that courtesy. I think if I was a truck driver, I would have lost my mind already.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for it.
I just got my code 14 the other day. And I mean, the thing that guys do in cars, they don't realize, let me quickly take this gap, squeeze in front of this truck. And you need space to turn and to stop.
Especially the stopping. As soon as I see somebody pull in front of a truck, like at a traffic light or something, as they're approaching, I'm like, he's calculated that.
Yeah, ages
ago. Good couple of hundred meters back.
You've just taken his
back,
space.
And
so
you've just changed all his calculations, and he now needs to really change up things just because you wanted to nip in front of him.
And a sudden turn on the steering, you could roll it, depending on the momentum, depending on the bend.
The speed, the inclination, and all that. Yeah,
people don't realize that. So, I mean, it's great that you guys had a had a good experience with him.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to try and see if I could find a union or something, because even that you were saying, you can imagine those trucks, what they have to the momentum, and they lose a little bit on the slightest. But even with that, where there were three or four of them in a row, and we'd managed to pass, and we could see the oncoming traffic coming. The truck at the back was actually slowing down to leave a gap for us to come in, and flashing for us to show in.
That
was amazing.
That's sacrificing his own comfort in the name of making
petrol.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
quite correct in his bonus. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Don't forget to join us on social media. That's at AutoTraderSA, or myself, at Chad Lookoff, at SA Speed Queen.
Thank you. I was taking a sip.
You want yours? No, leave one. Khadija, do you have one that the people can join in and stay up to date with what's happening?
Social media.
Social media.
Yes,
in
Facebook.
Facebook, okay.
Called Riding for a Limb.
Riding for a Limb.
Yes.
For a Limb, okay. Limb like
a L-I-M-B.
L-I-M-B, yeah.
Just to tell you also, our target was to raise 2 million rand because we have a deal with the company that does it, that we'd be able to give 100 kids, or we'd be able to make 100 processes. The account numbers, everything are on that book face thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're still on to the thing. We haven't closed down. We still have a couple of things that we're doing before we were closing down. I think that it's been incredible the way the people have, because a lot of people obviously sponsored had a per kilometer, they pledged per kilometer. So within the next 2 weeks or so, we will know exactly how much, you know, that was the major part of our trip to do that, to see how many kids are going to get back up and running.
All right, that's fantastic. Well, also, you can check out Riding for a Limb on Facebook. That's get involved in the conversation there. Follow what Kharida and Charlene and them are doing there in terms of raising money for the Kirsty Watts Foundation. Join Auto Trader as well at Auto Trader SA on Twitter, Auto Trader South Africa on Facebook as well. And of course, we're on Pinterest and Instagram and you name it, we're pretty much there. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be chatting about the VW Caddy. Yeah, let's see what that's about.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours. Auto Central. Powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
And we're back. Yep. So here we go into the last little stretch of our show this Wednesday. We want to thank you for joining us here on Auto Central on cliffcentral.com, powered by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. Joining on the conversation by getting in touch with us on Twitter at AutoTraderSA. We're just going to chat quickly about our review for the week. So our review for the week is the VW Caddy. Now the VW Caddy isn't necessarily a new vehicle, but it's had a little bit of a facelift. And, well, South Africans, and I'm running through what was said in my video review, South Africans love their small little LCVs, so they're half tonners in that. I mean, there was the little Toyotas and the Mazdas back in the day, and then, of course, the little Datsuns.
Like little business owners.
Yeah, just about anybody that's looking for a small, comfortable, easy-to-drive bucky that's nice and versatile, doesn't need to be as big as a double cab or as a full-blown 4x4. They don't need full 4x4 functionality. So we had our little Nissan Champs, we had the Corsa buckies, there was the Bantams, the Rustlers, and, of course, there was the VW Caddy. But it's undergone a transformation, and rightly so, because, you know, most of those little buckies sat with a canopy on the back and was enclosed, you know, 90% of the time. So why not create something like this, a little van of sorts with a closed canopy, but
that you can actually fit a bike in it.
You can fit a bike. You can fit whatever in the back there. And
you could not fit in the old one. You had to keep something open.
Well, this one, this one you can fit in considerably more, and it's going to stay dry because it basically got that permanent canopy style thing on it. So they had one, and it was loosely based on, that's pretty much it there. Yeah, Ty's pulling up some pictures there. And you'll see that the face has been updated. It no longer really looks like it wasn't even the Golf 5. It was just like the old Polo sort of front end that it had on it.
It looks more Golf in the front now.
Well, look, it's now headlights and that. Very similar to the 9C Polo. 6C Polo, sorry. And that's, of course, the new Polo. So it's had a little bit of a facelift. And it looks a little more edgy and a little more racy. And it actually looks considerably better. And I tell you what, it's been translated into the interior as well. And the build quality as a whole is just that much higher. The trim level is much better, and you can actually consider this now as being a vehicle to, you know, use for the daily grind. I don't know, you want to load the dog and the kids in and beach balls 100%. And stuff in and that sort of stuff. It's perfect for that. I mean, you've got plenty of load space at the back. You have got 750 litres.
Hold on. Are you allowed to load kids in the back?
Yes.
People?
No.
Yes.
That's my question. I don't think you can.
Is there a seat with a seatbelt? Yes.
Is there? Okay. But just say no.
It's the VW caddy.
You can put your kids in the boot.
Yes, now I'm going to lock my kids in the boot. I'm first going to gag them and blindfold them.
Yeah.
What kind of a sicko do you think I am?
Look.
There are seats and seat belts. No, that's what I'm saying. It's a five-seater. But then you've got that rear section as well that now basically doubles as your loading area.
In.
Yeah. So you've got 750 litres there. Wow. That you, of course, can increase that. And you can load 1.35 metres length, which, I mean, is a substantial length. It's a decent 12-year-old there. So while we're talking about kids in boots, it's a decent 12-year-old
there.
Well,
I think you don't... Do you have kids? I don't think so, Tyrone.
I do. I've got two boys.
Oh, my word. Yeah, you just said that.
Two boys and lots of surfboards. This is the ultimate surfer's vehicle as far as I'm concerned.
It is. I mean...
You know, when we were in Durbs, you know, Plenty Oaks drive these cars. And they are just so versatile.
It is. Whether and I see the guys that are doing like your kayaking and that. Yes. And especially with 1.35 meters, that's fairly lengthy. And if you go diagonal, you could probably, you know,
what,
make
to put it
even
on
longer.
The roof?
No need to put it in the roof. Or on the, no need to put it on the roof. Let me get that right.
Just dump it
just
in the...
throw it in the back. It stays dry. You don't need to worry about it getting stolen. You can lock it up.
Sun so doesn't the melt the wax.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so all those things that you have to think about when you've got a surfboard.
Yeah. So, yeah, surfboards, kayaks, mountain biking, you know, guys that have... Even if you want into, and ideally, you know, you've got big dogs and you want to take them out to the park and that, load them in the back there and you can...
Doesn't have windows, though.
Carpeted.
Hey?
Yeah, it's got windows.
It's got windows.
The one you're thinking of is the Caddy Maxi.
Yes,
you're thinking of the Caddy Maxi,
that's
which is
what
basically.
I have in my mind
no,
the whole
man,
time,
no. This is the Caddy.
I saw this pic earlier. Oh, there, okay.
Yes. It's like a little van for people. You get the Caddy Maxi. The Caddy Maxi
and
is the. And animals and surfboards and stuff. The Caddy Maxi is the one that's closed off, and that's the slightly more business like
okay,
or industrial
see,
one,
what
sort
I
of commercial
it
vehicle.
Is what they use for business.
That one's not necessarily carpeted in the back, and, you know, it's going to be open.
That one doesn't have seats in the back.
Not going to have seats in the back and that. So there's more, but then you can load the paint in and that. You don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so the business one is called what?
Just the Caddy.
Caddy. And this one is called?
Today, I'd like to address a close friend of mine, Ugo Carlini. She's a filmmaker. And I would just really like to put her in an amazing gown and just, you know, get her hair done beautifully on the red carpet and make her feel like $1 million.
Nice motor. They're not overly powerful. 81 kilowatts, 250 newton meters of torque, but pretty nice to drive anyway. Five-speed manual transmission. You do get it with the DSG option, but that bumps the price up quite a bit. You're going to pay about an extra 30,000 rand just to get a DSG.
What is so special about that gearbox?
DSG.
Yeah.
It's a dual-clutch automatic gearbox. So it's got all the characteristics of a manual gearbox without the need to actually manually change it. So
okay.
And it's a very compact gearbox. It doesn't weigh
so
as much.
So it revs better.
Revs better, changes faster, changes cleaner. It can do rev matching. It's quite a technical
so worth,
one.
Worth
it is a sort of...
Is it worth the additional cost then?
Possibly. I think it may even be maybe a dual-clutch system that the Integra is running. 100%. On the, correct,
exactly,
on the Honda
exactly.
Integra. It's a dual-clutch. It's a lot more compact, and that's why automatic gearboxes are finding their ways into bikes now.
Okay.
Is because of it doesn't need this big... chunky torque converter, and it's not that laggy up and down which can affect the balance. It's a virtually instantaneous change between gears. So it's pretty good. I'm not a massive fan of DSG as a whole because I feel it's the illusion of control at times, and it's still making way too many decisions for my liking, but it has a time and a place, especially traffic. So, but the manual's a fantastic drive. The manual's going to return fuel consumption figures of about 5.7. That's what's claimed. Real world, it's going to be just over 6. So that's not too far off. It's not too bad. But, I mean, this is a diesel. It should be a little lower than that, in my opinion. It's got a 3-year 120,000-kilometer warranty, 3-year 60,000-kilometer service plan. So this one's definitely not geared towards the
business side,
of things. This is geared for the consumer. And it really is nicely trimmed. You've still got so much packing space inside it. There's a lovely little... rooftop sort of storage bin there, which is a firm favorite for losing stuff, because as soon as you put something on the front and you break once, it ends up right to the front of the car, right up against the windscreen, and yeah, you need a pretty long arm to be able to get in there and go and fetch it if you remember that it's there. This one retails for 358,200. That was at the time of testing, but it's as good as buying a 2-liter TDI Polo or 2-liter TDI Jetta. It's giving you the same sort of drive, just with an added bit of versatility. So my video
do you think
review.
It's worth the
money. To some. If that's the sort of vehicle that you're actually out there and you're shopping for, and you're going to be considering things like, what is it, Fiat Doblo or...
So do they, I don't think it's a head turner in any way, but I definitely think you're going to get more bang for your buck from a versatility point of view with a car like this.
You do. It's practical. It's been designed 100%. To be practical, and that's exactly what it is. It's a practical vehicle.
So you're comparing it to the Eco?
Not directly. It's not a direct competitor, but you'd probably be looking at something with roughly the same sort of size, you know, and considering, well, am I going to go for that, or am I going to go for a caddy, or do I need a, you know, a one-tonner bucky, something of the sorts, you know, a single cab or a double cab or something
of
the sorts.
For the 10 k's of dirt road, huh?
Yeah, for the 10 k's of dirt road that you do from Bronco Spreitenberg.
okay. That confused me that when you spend that money when they could buy an R1M for that same price and when you waste it on a
two-wheeled lace.
Yeah, you know what the thing is? What is it again? That's right, rain. and the cold.
Ask Lorenzo.
Aircon. And your surfboard.
Maybe Lorenzo should get one of those caddies.
I look ridiculous with my golf clubs on the back on a bike. It's just really inconvenient. I ain't splitting any traffic like that. I tried it once, it ended in tears.
Get yourself an Integra. So good space in the back.
Good space in the back. But yeah, that's the VW Caddy. Go and take a look at the video. It is out on our YouTube channel.
Awesome.
So it's Auto Trader South Africa on YouTube. And, well, yeah, that's pretty much all there is to it. I quite enjoyed it. I didn't like that. I drove the previous generation and it left me cold because it rattled and wheezed and felt plasticky and it just felt like agricultural. And this one was so nicely rounded that you forgot you were driving a versatile vehicle like that, which was pretty cool.
And anything to look forward to?
Anything to look forward to?
Yeah, have you been on any sneaky launches?
Well, I was on Fiat Fullback yesterday. Okay. So the Fiat Fullback's coming in. That's
they're
essentially
doing a lot, eh, Fiat at the moment?
That's a part of Fiat Professional. So that's their commercial line, and that is things like, and that's why it was first to mind, was like the Doblo and the Ducato and Fiorino that they've got, which is part of their Fiat Professional range. And they're starting to focus a little more on their commercial style vehicles, and this Fullback comes in there now. It's offered in a 2.4 petrol single cab, and that's starting at 232,000.
Okay,
which is fair money, which is pretty good in terms of a workhorse, and that very much like your Isuzu KB fleet side and the likes. And it makes its way all the way up to 468,000 for the double cab 2.5 petrol, 131 kilowatts, 400 newton meters of torque there. But beautifully, beautifully trimmed and a fantastic drive. And it's a stylish-looking bucky.
Yeah.
It's really, it has its sights set firmly on Hilux and Ranger and Isuzu KB, so they need to watch out because Fiat's back in town. Okay.
Slick Italian oaks in buckies.
Now you're talking about coming up.
Hot.
Our partner in crime, Lawrence, he's currently sitting on Lexus RC200T, so it's not the 300, it's not the big V6, V8 maneuver, V8 motor, 2-litre turbo, but still in the same good-looking body.
Sure.
So that's going to be one to watch. Friday I do Focus RS.
Oh, very nice.
Looking forward to that one. And then the lucky bugger, Lawrence does Audi R8.
Oh, shame.
Next week, Wednesday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So I am officially jealous. I will be sitting here and not delivering this in the same sort of friendly candor next week while I'm on this radio show. There will be a little bit of hostility in my voice.
I'm curious to see the changes that they...
All right. I also can't wait. Curious. Sadly. I'll have to wangle one out of them somehow and go and do a video and do some track work with it, I think it's needed.
But listen, talking about exciting stuff coming up, you guys now did this whole over 4,000 K journey. What is next? And you're busy raising all these funds. Or you did raise, am I right? You've already raised all those funds.
I can't give you an exact figure on to exactly how much we've raised right at this stage because, you know, we're obviously still waiting for the pledges to come in. But as we explained earlier, it's an ongoing thing. And I mean, Gerda, with her enthusiasm for motorcycles and that, we definitely want to do a couple of records as far as 12 hours concerned on either the tracks, either Kyle Army or SWAT Corps, where we'd obviously be working with you, Vilmi.
How would that work? Would someone pay per lap? Because, I mean, you said earlier people have been donating per kilometer.
That's correct.
So per lap.
Yes, of course. That we would do
so
that
the quicker we make you, the more money we can get in.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. The quicker, the better for me.
Yeah. As well. Although, listen, I think that's a bit of a sliding scale because the faster you go, the more you need to concentrate. and the more fatiguing it
could slower, be. Let me tell you something. The slower people go, the more incidents you can...
No, yeah, because they become complacent and they're not concentrating. It's finding that healthy pace of where you're going around it and you're doing good, but you're not trying to constantly go
focused.
Out there. Yeah, but you're focused, yeah. And instead of just sitting there on that razor's edge.
Now going slowly is more exhausting, I promise you.
Really? Or did you figure that out? Well, I'm guessing it was that Karoo stretch. take me now.
That's what the traffic cop asked me. Why are you going so fast? I'm like, what a stupid question. I can't go slow. it just doesn't work.
It's boring.
Yes. So we get it. Okay, yeah, so okay, it's per lap that we're going to be raising.
Very, very good.
We'll obviously discuss that with you. We'll have a look at the dates and times. We definitely will be back at SA Bike Fest next year. And maybe that we're going to have a look. We have already spoken to Nicole and that. We may be doing something at that too. You know, we still a lot of things in planning. As you know, this is not a one-off thing. We're in it for
ongoing,
a lifetime thing. You know.
So do you need corporates in that too? To buy into this, who's currently buying in per kilometer per lap? Is it individuals or corporates?
We have it in individuals, but corporates as well. Okay. You know, once again, is you know that we fully registered as far as BEE concerned, this Section 18A certificate as far as tax is concerned.
So you can provide
yes,
that.
Everything is. As I said to you, and our biggest thing is that we pride ourselves that 100% goes to recipients. So it's also quite a visible thing because, I mean, kid loses a leg and we put a leg on so that people can see it. And then, you know, we obviously get involved in their schooling to help them with their schooling. We've helped with some of the parents that we've been able to place in jobs where some of the corporate companies that are involved with us have given them things to. So it's not a thing that's going to stop now. And, I mean, obviously with you guys and that too, if there's any ideas, we just have to twist and had his arm a bit. And
I don't think we have to do much twisting. but it's
way
an
too,
amazing.
She's way too enthusiastic about this whole riding thing. And, ooh, I want to go fast. Yeah, no, okay. There's no twisting needed
but,
here.
But you know what? From personally, from a loss or something, it's one thing recovering, which is incredible. Recovering and making a difference to other people is phenomenal. So hats off. Really, I think it's great, and for everyone that's involved.
Massively commendable. I've got a round of applause.
Thank you, guys. To me, I was given a gift. It's not something that was taken away from me. I was given
so
a
it's
gift.
Actually, that's amazing.
Using this to help others.
Yeah. That's a fantastic way of taking a look at it, because I can imagine, and I'll try and put myself in that sort of position, is that, you know, losing two limbs and losing your mobility, what is essentially feels like your freedom and having your freedom taken away from you,
could be
a massive drain on the just your general morale and your list for life, you know. So to come back out,
you did say
that it was a bit of a relief, though. Is that correct?
Because I was so ill for so long, I mean 7 years that I was fighting to keep my feet, you know, of which the last 2 years I was more in hospital than what I was at home or at work.
Yeah.
And at the end, I just got to the point where I said no more. Yeah. I actually wanted to die. So the fact that I had my health back was enough motivation for me to keep on.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
And be mobile, and then the bikes. And
be a mom again, as you were
saying
earlier.
And be a mom for my boys.
Really.
Yeah. No, yes, I did face challenges. You do have your pity party moments, and you know, that's normal, but you can decide whether this challenge is going to let you go flat down on your face or whether you're going to embrace it and become a stronger person on the other side.
And I mean, I think you've shot straight past that to just absolute superstar. You know, there's no holds barred there. I don't think there was, it doesn't seem like there was any middle ground, because it was within 2 years. You were riding 4,000 kilometers, raising awareness and funds along the way. I mean, that absolutely...
On a motorbike!
Hada, you know what we always say.
In 45-degree winds. Well, 45 degrees was how you guys were going down Worcester. But that's so fantastic.
Like no,
such an inspiration.
When I teach, and you'll do well with this, no coasting. It's all or nothing.
Exactly.
So that's the way she's gone about it.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, I want to thank Charles Bierkes and Gerard de Toy. Thank you very much for joining us in studio. It has been wonderful, 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 and a massive inspiration to hear your story and all the good work that you do for these people that are just sitting and facing so much trials and tribulations in their lives, and that you make such a positive difference, and you do it just from the goodness of your own heart. Thank you very much for the work that you do out there. We appreciate it. And thank you for joining us in studio. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
No, absolute pleasure.
We'll be
you.
Keeping up to date.
Yeah. Yes, sure. This will not be the last one. This will not be the last
one. Next is you'll have one of our kids to teach. Well, then we'll
no
really
problem.
Be there, that's for sure.
It has to be done.
Thank
to be
you
done.
So
and
much,
I think
guys,
AT is going to be there all the way, 100%, every step of the way.
Definitely. I just, you know, true testament to your courage and who you are as an individual and such inspiration. And if there are kids out there that are struggling at the moment, you know, just life is going to throw you a couple of curveballs. And you can either choose to do something with it, which is exactly what Khair has done, and I really take my hat off to you, and we will support you the rest of the way.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic. All right, well, folks, that's all the time we've got for you this time around. Thank you for joining us either here live on Auto Central or downloading the podcast. And hey, if you're downloading it, rewind
share
back
it,
and
share
it. Just share it around, or just share the link. Let them download it. It helps us. Yeah. But join in on our rest of our social media outlets. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and the likes. Stay up to date with what's happening in the world of Auto Trader South Africa, and we'll be back with you next week, same time, same place, with a little bit of jealousy thrown into the mix. From all of us here at Auto Central, take care, stay safe on the roads. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.